es ha'avoda bedvir besecha the ishei Yisrael puskilasam tekabel v'rotzam.
There are clearly two requests going on here in this sentence. In the near future, to return the avoda to the Beis HaMikdash.
To hashelis avoda l'dvir Beis Secha.
Return the avoda to the Beis HaMikdash. And a request in the present.
U'tfilosam, the tfilos of Klal Yisrael, tekabel v'ratzo.
Should be accepted by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The question is, what are these words v'ishei Yisrael, which mean the fires of Israel, the korbanos? So Tosfos, in the very end of Menachos, quotes two ways to read this. Either you read it that it is part of the request of the avoda, v'hashei v'sa'avoda levir v'secha v'ishei Yisrael, return the avoda and the korbanos. The strength of this is that it does make more sense that we're requesting, we don't bring fires nowadays. So how can we be asking the alternative way, which would be, return the avoda, and then the second request is, the ishei Yisrael usfilasam, and the fires of Israel, and their prayers, should be accepted. Which would imply that nowadays, we're asking that nowadays, our tfilos, and our prayers, and our karbanos should be accepted. Now I know you could read it all as one request. You could say, return the avoda, and that way, we know for sure that our tefillah could be accepted. But then, the problem is that we would, then it's a little bit of a, it's a little bit strange to have a request that's completely about the future and is not addressing our tefillahs nowadays at all. And certainly the last line of the tefillah, U'sehila ratzon tamid avodas Yisrael amecha, that our service should always be pleasing, seems to be a statement about the present. So, theoretically, we could read it in three ways. All one big request. Return the avoda in order that the tefilasam of Yisrael tekabel v'ratzon will be accepted. But the way that Tosso suggests is that it is two requests, and the question is just, where does the word v'ishei Yisrael go? That phrase. Does it go with the beginning, or does it go at the end? Now, the problem of putting it with the beginning is that what I would have read it, v'hashem es ha'avoda v'ishei Yisrael l'dvir beisecha. But as we pointed out yesterday, that the dvir is a reference to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and the karbanos were not brought in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. They were brought in the Mizbeach outside, in the Heichal. So, therefore, maybe it wasn't possible to say v'hashem es ha'avoda v'ishei Yisrael l'dvir beisecha, because there is an avoda that's done in the dvir, and then the Ishei Yisrael are put afterwards. But how would we read it if we put the Ishei Yisrael as part of Utfilasam? If we read, V'hashem es ha'avod l'vir beisecha, that's one point. Please, Hashem, return the avoda, and please return, and the Ishei Yisrael and the tfilos of Klal Yisrael should be accepted. If that's the way you read it, V'hashem es ha'avod l'vir beisecha, period, V'ishei Yisrael utfilasam tekabel v'ratzon. If we read it like that, well then what are the karbanos nowadays referring to? What does it mean that Hashem should accept nowadays our karbanos? We don't have karbanos. So there are a number of suggestions that are made. Tosfos himself quotes from a medrash. And the medrash, it's really a gemara there in Menachos that says that Michael brings karbanos now in Shamayim. And the medrash says, what is it that he's bringing? What are the karbanos that Michael, the angel, is bringing? So there are two opinions, or two different midrashim. One says it's the neshamos of the tzaddikim, and the other says that it's kvasim of esh. So, I don't know what any of that means, but that could be one way to explain the tefillah. This tefillah is a Kabbalistic, or maybe say mystical reference to some type of karbanos that are being brought on our behalf by Michael and Shamayim. And we're asking Hashem, accept our karbanos and shamayim that are being brought by Michael, and our tefillos down here. It's one possibility. I don't know if that is the pshat, so I'm not sure what that does for a lot of us, because we don't know exactly, it's hard to relate to the karbanos being brought by Michael. But there are other explanations. For instance, the Torah says that the Ishei Yisrael don't mean actual karbanos, but it means the tefilos that are bimakom the karbanos. We know that there's a discussion in the Gemara in Brachos why we have tefilos nowadays, and one of the opinions brought down there is that the tefilos are connected to karbanos. Shachris is connected the carbon tamid shall shachar, mincha is connected the carbon tamid shall bein harbayim, and marav is connected the fats and everything that was burned on the base of mikdash for the rest of the night. So the Torah says that that's perhaps what Ishei Yisrael means. It means our tfilos that are connected the karbanos. Okay, well then it's redundant. The Ishei Yisrael utfilosam. So the Bach, a commentary on the Torah, the Bach writes that no, the Ishei Yisrael are the three regular tfilos that we make. Shachris, Mincha, and Maariv. And Tfilosam means all of the additional Tfilos that a person offers up on his own. Meaning, we have our three Tfilos that we make officially every day, that we say, recite three times a day. But in addition to that, a person hopefully has a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu where throughout the day he asks for things, he responds to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he davens to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It could be Tfilos that we make because of events that are going on in our life. But there are other tefillos that people offer up to Hashem during the day. Or, alternatively, it's suggested that maybe by the Bach, maybe it refers to Shabbos and Yom Tov when we say Musaf, that there are other tefillos that are made. So the Ishei Yisrael makes reference to the regular karbanos, that the tefillos that are connected to the karbanos, and tefillosim refers to other tefillos that we make during the day. I wanted to suggest another possibility, and that is that we know that there are two elements to tefillah. There's the element of karbanos, and there's the element of the avos. That's the other opinion there in the Gemara and Brachos, that tefillah is keneged. The avos means that the tefillos were instituted. We have three tefillos. Either they were instituted keneged the karbanos, as we already mentioned, or keneged the avos, because we know Avram davened shachris, Yitzchak davened mincha, and Yaakov davened mariv. Now, we're not going to get into it now. Maybe we'll have another time when we talk about tefillah to talk about it. But Rav Soloveitchik once suggested that this machlokas is not a real machlokas, but it's highlighting two different elements of davening. There's an element of davening that it's like karbanos. What does that mean? It means it's very rigid, it's very formal, and it's an avodah that we do. And we follow the rules, and there are a lot of rules, and we're talking about diktuk and how to group the words. That's one element of tefillah. That if you say it, and if you do it, so it brings you bracha. We can even call it almost like a magic trick on a certain level. You say certain words, you say certain things, you follow the rules, it works. It's like karbanos. You burn it here, you sprinkle the blood over there. There's another element of tefillah, and that is what the avos introduced. You know that Avram davened in the morning, because apparently he felt that that was the time for him to daven. His neshama needed to daven in the morning. And we also know that each of the avos davened in their own place. One davened in the field, one davened in the house, one davened on a mountain. Each of the avos, they each davened in their own location, in a makom. They're each makom. What does that mean? It means that each of the avos brought to tefillah their own personal approach to tefillah. And that's another important element of davening. Davening can't just be a rigid thing that I say and I'm yotzei. It's got to be heartfelt. It has to be real. It has to be personal. So maybe these two phrases are highlighting these two elements of davening. There's the Ishei Yisrael, that's the karbanos element of davening, that davening is very formal and rigid, and it's something that we do, and we say the same words every single day because it's our avoda. But there's another element of davening, and that is the supplication element, the personal element. And therefore, we're highlighting both of those issues. The Ishei Yisrael utfilosam should be accepted by Hashem. So, this is something you should be aware of. There is a question on how to read this. V'hoshevas ha'avoda levir beisecha v'ishei Yisrael, comma, utfilosam sekabel baratzo. Or does Ishei Yisrael go with the first phrase? I noticed today in the sitter I was using that they didn't want to take sides, so they wrote, Hashimah Zavodah Levir Beisecha, period. Ishei Yisrael, period. Utzilosam Tekabel Baratzam. They just didn't take sides. They put a period on both sides of Ishei Yisrael, but you should be aware of this issue. The other issue I wanted to address, the other issue in Davening I wanted to address was in Birchas Kohanim. We say, Barchenu Bavracha Mishuleshes, Batorah ksuv al yedei Moshe avdecha murami pi Aaron uvanav kohanim am kedoshecha kamor. Question is, how are we supposed to group the words in the beginning of that? Barchenu bivracha hamishuleshes. What does it mean, a bracha hamishuleshes? Is it a bracha hamishuleshes? Kama. Batorah ksuv al yedei Moshe avdecha. Or is it barchenu bivracha hamishuleshes batorah? Kama.
Haksuva al yidei Moshe avdecha. Where's the proper punctuation? First of all, this word mishuleshes is interesting. What does it even mean mishuleshes? It came up in this week's parsha, in parsha's lech lecha, because it says there, taken egal mishuleshes. Right? And what did that mean in Egel Mishuleshes? Rashi tells you, Egel Mishuleshes is strange. What does that mean? A triple cow? What does that mean? Like a three-headed cow? Guarding the third floor of Hogwarts? Like what is a three-headed cow? Like what does that even mean? So it says that Rashi says, what does Mishuleshes mean? It means there are three cows. So Mishuleshes means something that there's three of it. So what does it mean? So in the Shulchan Aruch, in Simin Kuf, Chaf, Zayin, in Aruch Hayim, the Shulchan Aruch writes, Barchenu b'vracha mishuleshes b'chulei. And he seems to put the word, bracha mishuleshes,
Barchenu b'vracha hamishuleshes. That's how the Shulchan Aruch writes it. Implying that that's how you read it. And El Kama, haksuva al yidei Moshe avdecha. Sorry. Bracha mishuleshes, b'Torah haksuva yidei Moshe avdecha,
which means that we have this added phrase, b'Torah haksuva yidei Moshe avdecha, which is really not germane to our discussion. We're talking about Birchas Kohanim.
It's a bracha mishuleshes that's amura.
What's the expression?
Mipi Aaron. So it's a bracha mishuleshes, which is said by Aaron, and we throw it in there in the middle, and it's written in the Torah by Moshe. But Torah ksuva yidei Moshe avdecha.
So from the straight reading of the Shulchan Aruch, this is the way you read it, bracha mishuleshes. And in the Sefer Ish Matzliach, he writes that the reason why we say this, why is it called bracha mishuleshes? Because if it would have said bracha mishuleshes b'Torah, that would mean a bracha that appears three times in the Torah. And it's not true. It only appears once in the Torah. It doesn't appear three times. So it can't be that the right girsa is bracha mishuleshes b'Torah. That means a bracha that appears three times in the Torah. That's not true. And therefore he argues it must mean bracha mishuleshes, which means not that it appears three times, but rather a three-part bracha. A bracha that has three parts to it. And we say three bracha, three psukim. Yivarecha Hashem v'yishmerecha, yoyar Hashem panav v'elecha v'chon, yisah Hashem panav v'elecha v'yizneim lecha shalom. Three parts to the bracha. So he argues, the Sefer Ish Matzliach, that bracha hamishuleshes means a three-part bracha, as opposed to bracha mishuleshes b'Torah, which would mean a pasuk that appears three times in the Torah. And that's not correct. And therefore, the Sefer Ish Matzliach argues that the right way to say it is bracha mishuleshes. Beseder. But that's not the way that most assume is the proper pronunciation. Again, if you just read the Shulchan Aruch, you could make this argument. The Sefer Ish Matzliach says that this is the right way to say it. But most of the Achronim, I believe, say that you should say Bracha HaMishuleshes B'Torah, and then you say Haksuva Yidei Moshe Avdech. What are the arguments? And it's not only, first of all, in the early Sefer HaManig, which was one of the Rishonim from Provence, that's what he writes. He writes that you say bracha mishuleshes b'Torah v'chulei, meaning the Shulchan Aruch changes it. He writes bracha mishuleshes v'chulei is what we say. But in the Sefer HaManig it says bracha mishuleshes b'Torah v'chulei. He groups the word Torah with mishuleshes explicitly. So we have a raya from the Rishonim. In addition, there is a Sefer that came out in America last century, in the let's say mid-1900s. It was a very popular Sefer called Sefer HaMe'or. It was like a journal, but it came out as a Sefer. But it came out regularly, and people would write in letters. You know, it was like an early journal. So the person who was the editor of that had a section in one of the volumes all about the correct way. Someone asked, "What's the correct way?" He said, "I always daven in shul. I always break it up one way. And there's a zaken in the minyan who always comes and corrects me. So I want to know what the correct way is." So the oreach of the Sefer HaMe'or makes two arguments. The first one is just in terms of logic, in terms of how to read the pasuk, how to read the bracha. He says, according to the way we have it right now, bracha hamishuleshes b'Torah, so then this expression, haksuva yidei Moshe avdecha, and this expression, ha'amura mipi Aaron, are modifying birchas kohanim. Think about it.
Barchenu b'vracha mishlashes b'torah, and now we're saying the praise of that bracha. It's ksuv al yidei Moshe avdecha. It's a bracha that was written by Moses and declared by Aaron. As opposed to if you do it the way that the Ish Matzliach suggested. If you say bracha mishuleshes, kama, b'torah, ksuv al yidei Moshe avdecha, so it's one thing to praise him and say, okay, it's in the Torah and it's said by Aaron. But what's this whole haksuv al yidei Moshe avdecha? That phrase of haksuv al yidei Moshe avdecha, if we put the Torah here, is totally a random fact that has nothing to do with Birchas Kohanim. According to the way the Ish Matzliach reads it, haksuv al yidei Moshe avdecha is modifying the Torah. It's a bracha in the Torah which was written by Moshe. Okay, who cares if the Torah was written by Moshe? But the way we have it, according to the Sefer HaManig, it's a bracha mishuleshes b'Torah, and now the expression of haksuv al yidei Moshe avdecha is modifying Birchas Kohanim as opposed to modifying the Torah. So that's his first argument, that he thinks it's just, first of all, he argues, he doesn't know if it's such a menafka mina, he doesn't know if it makes such a big difference. But if you wanted to know what he thinks is correct, he thinks this is correct. He also argues based on diktuk. What's the diktuk point? Whenever you have a psik, you have a stoppage at some point in a pasuk, so we often change the vowels to be harder sounds. So for instance, anyone who, I know in my bar mitzvah parsha, parsha's vo'era in Shmos, not vayera, vo'era in Sefer Shmos. So the Mitzrayims, we usually pronounce it Mitzrayim, when Mitzrayim is the end of a pasuk, or when it's there's an asnachta, which is a soft break in the middle of a pasuk, so Mitzrayim becomes Mitzroyim. Why do we go from Mitzrayim to Mitzroyim? Because whenever you're breaking on a word, so the vowels often become softer, become harder. So, like we say, Am, it's really be Am, what's the Pasuk? We say, Am, no, not in that Pasuk. Am Kedoshecha is what it really should be. Kedoshecha, you are holy. But we say Am Kedoshecha. Kedoshecha, the Shva, turns into a segel. Kedoshecha. When words are on the asnachta, or at the end of a pasuk, so the vowels often change. And here also, Mishuleshes should be Mishuloshes, he wants to argue. If it really ended here, it should say Bracha Mishuloshes. From the fact that it's bracha mishuleshes implies that there isn't a psik there, and it's bracha mishuleshes b'Torah. Okay, that's for the diktuk fans. Lemaisa, this is what most of the poskim write, that you should say bracha mishuleshes b'Torah. And there is a very interesting ha'ara of the shla. The shla, in addressing this, writes, why is Mishuleshes b'Torah? What does that mean, it's Mishuleshes b'Torah? So we already gave an interpretation that maybe Mishuleshes b'Torah means that it appears three times, and that would be hard because it doesn't appear three times. Maybe Bracha Mishuleshes Tish Matzliach means that it's a three-part Bracha. Okay, but if we're trying to argue that it's Bracha Mishuleshes b'Torah, how do we explain the words? Bracha Mishuleshes b'Torah sounds like it means it appears three times. It doesn't appear three times. Bracha Mishuleshes, I hear, means a three-part bracha. But what do we do if it's Bracha Mishuleshes b'Torah? So the Shla says a very interesting suggestion. There are certain psukim that the Mishnah teaches in Megillah are not miturgam. The pasuk is not miturgam into Aramaic. Unklus doesn't translate. It's not miturgam. There's a discussion we showed on what that means, it's not miturgam. Does that mean that we don't have a tirgum for it? Or targum for it? Or does that mean that when they used to have the practice of reading the targum out loud in shul, they wouldn't read this out loud? So, and the nafka mina, one of the nafka mina about whether there's targum is for shnayim mikra. Whenever there's a pasuk, if you read unklus for shnayim mikra, if there's a pasuk that doesn't have targum, so then what do you do? Or if there's a pasuk that doesn't have rashi and you're doing rashi, what do? Read the pasuk a third time. You know, you generally read the pasuk twice, then you read rashi. If there's no rashi, read the pasuk a third time. So, the Talmidei Rabbeinu Yonah in Brachos on Daf Dalid says that Birchas Kohanim does not have a targum, and therefore it needs to be read three times. Now, if you look in Archumashim, there is a targum. And Targum Yonasan has it. Rabbi Kivager makes this ha'ara. But apparently, Rabbeinu Yonah, in his Chumashim, did not have Targum, meaning in the Targum Unkas, it just said the Pasuk again in Hebrew. So the Shlosh says maybe that's what it means in Birchas Kohanim, in Bracha Meshuleshes Batorah. It means it's a Pasuk that you need to read the Torah part three times. Because there is no Targum for it. Why is there no Targum for it? It's obviously something very, very special about it. It's so holy, so special, we don't even want to translate it into Aramaic. We need to leave the initial words. There's something so special about the initial Hebrew. And therefore he wants to say that it's a praise of the Torah, of the Birchas Kohanim. It's a Bracha Meshuleshes Batorah. Means it's Meshuleshes. You have to read it three times when you're doing Shnayim Mikra because there is no Targum on it. So this would be a way to explain what Bracha Meshuleshes Batorah means in order to answer up the kasha of the Ish Matzliach. Again, the Ish Matzliach said, it's got to be Bracha Meshuleshes, because Bracha Meshuleshes Batorah means it appears three times. So according to the Gra, we have an interpretation of what it means, Bracha Meshuleshes Batorah, that it means that it's a pasuk that needs to be read three times because of its intense holiness. So the general consensus, when you are unless you have a minhag otherwise, the general consensus month poskim is that the way you read the pasuk is Bracha Meshuleshes Batorah. Haksuva Yidei Moshe Avdecha is not talking about the Torah that's written by Moshe. We know the Torah was written by Moshe. It's a praise of Birchas Kohanim, that it was written by Moshe and recited by Aaron. It could be that the main point is that it's recited by Aaron. But we didn't want to slight Moshe. So we say that it's a pasuk, it's a beautiful pasuk, doesn't have Targum. It was written by Moshe and it was proclaimed by Aaron, and we're now going to bless Klal Yisrael with that bracha. Okay.